The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades, in the intellectual wilderness of South Lauderdale, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Friday, everybody. I had to break out this old intro, even though I'm going to get copyright ID'd for using this theme song. But since we're talking UFOs today, I figured we needed to, you know, get into the swing of things. So there you go. Welcome to it. It's a Friday. I can't believe we made it through this week. And what's even more precarious is what's coming up next week. Talk about spooky. Do I have any spooky spooky sound effects? Yes. Next week, the January 6th hearings begin. I won't tell you what someone said to me about hoping that nothing horrible happens between now and then, because there are some people who probably don't want you to hear what's going to come out in those January 6th hearings. Yes, but they start, again, they start on Thursday night, 8 p.m. I'll have the popcorn ready. So today got off to an interesting start. That idiot, the complete and utter moron, Peter Navarro, was not only indicted for contempt of Congress for ignoring the subpoena from the January 6th committee, he was arrested. On Friday morning, the Department of Justice released a statement announcing Navarro's indictment on criminal contempt charges due to a referral from the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack at the Capitol. The press release says, former White House advisor Peter K. Navarro has been indicted by a federal grand jury on two counts of contempt of Congress, stemming from his failure to comply with a subpoena, blah, 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 blah. The 72-year-old Navarro was charged with one contempt count involving his refusal to appear for a deposition, and another involving his refusal to produce documents despite a subpoena from the committee. The indictments were returned yesterday and unsealed today. Also, as detailed in the indictment on February 9th, the select committee issued a subpoena to Navarro. He didn't show up, all that stuff. Each count of contempt of Congress carries a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 1 year in jail, as well as a fine of up to $100,000. Okay. So Navarro will appear in federal court this afternoon. And here's an update. As of 12:30 this afternoon, Peter Navarro is in custody pending a court appearance. About time. What's going to happen after that, I don't know, but good. So now do Mark Meadows, you know, and on, as they say, and so on, and so on, and so on. What else? Oh, there's another story I've got to share with you just because it's there. So I was looking for the Navarro story to share with you, and I come across this headline. You ready? Florida man sustained injuries to his private area after crashing SUV into FedEx truck while receiving oral sex. Because what else do you do while you're driving down a Florida road, right? The man, whose identity has not been released, was driving an SUV in Fort Lauderdale. Hey! And crashed head-on into a FedEx truck, apparently distracted by attention from his female passenger. According to Local 10 News, the male driver and his female passenger were both discovered naked after a crash on North Ocean Boulevard. That's the beach. And 19th Street around 6:49 p.m. When was this? Maybe it was yesterday, I'm guessing. It's the date on it is today, but it must have been yesterday. Local 10 reporter in a video clip posted on the outlet's website reported, as for what caused the crash, well, police say the female passenger was performing sex acts on the driver, causing him to lose control and hit this FedEx truck. The report also noted that it was unclear whether anyone would be facing charges related to the accident. Really? Upon arrival, crews observed two vehicles with heavy damage and four adults with various injuries. The two adults in the SUV suffered severe but non-life-threatening injuries, he continued, and the two adult males in the FedEx vehicle suffered minor injuries. All four people involved were transported to a local Broward Health Hospital for further evaluation. Let's see. In regards to what they were doing in the vehicle, I have no idea. Yeah. So they're not telling us anything. But really, an image from the accident scene appeared to show the two FedEx employees seated on the sidewalk near a utility pole while the first responders attended to the SUV driver and passenger. Contrary to Local 10's description of the couple as being discovered naked, the two appeared at least partially dressed, with the individual lying on the road wearing black underwear and pants gathered around the ankles. Florida, what more do you need to know? Yeah, you see, so I don't know. Sydney says you'd think we could. But I wasn't reading your comments. Sydney in the chat room thinks he could crack me up. But he says, but she's such a pro. I'm not seeing what you wrote that would crack me up. So, I'll have to read because I was reading something else, not your comments. So anyway, I told you yesterday that I'm going to try to stay away from the news today. I really am. We recorded this interview on Wednesday, so it's ready to go. And I figured if anything big happened, I'd fill you in. And the biggest thing I figure is the guy getting head while driving down Fort Lauderdale Beach, crashing head on into a FedEx truck because, well, why not? You get head and you have a head on crash, right? Just makes as much sense as anything else these days. Anyway, so that's where we are. It is a Friday. Here's what happened. A couple of weeks ago, I'm doing my thing online. It was actually when Congress was holding hearings into those UFO sightings. You might recall, forever, the U.S. government said, there's no there. We don't comment on UFOs. We don't comment on Area 51, on any of the reports of unidentified flying objects in the past. Well, in 2017, the New York Times published a story complete with some video that they obtained from, I guess, classified sources from the U.S. military showing military aircraft sightings of what they call unidentified atmospheric phenomenon. They don't call them UFOs. They're UAPs. Unidentified atmospheric phenomenon. Well, then the government couldn't deny anything anymore. They just said, we don't have an explanation for any of it. So I'm talking about the hearings that took place in Congress, and somebody jumps into my Twitter stream, a guy named Dave Altman, and he says, have you heard of the film A Terror in the Sky? And I said, no, not yet. And he said, well, I was a researcher on it. And make a long story short, he invited me to watch the film, which I did, and then helped set up an interview with the writer, producer, director, a woman named Caroline Corey, and himself. And as I said, we taped it on Wednesday, and I'm going to share it with you. Because here's the deal. If you're like me, you're thinking, where can I move to? Right? I know our friend Laffy is going to Canada. I know people who've moved to France, some pondering perhaps the UK. I was thinking about Australia because they've, done away with the mass shootings there. But again, I don't really have the money for a move like that. And then I'm thinking, well, what if somebody came here and invited me to a faraway land like these beings that we know are out there? And maybe they're carrying a book that's called To Serve Man, but it's not a cookbook. I think I'd go. So anyway, I'm getting a little ahead of ourselves here. I thought, let me share with you my conversation with Caroline Corey and David Altman from A Terror in the Sky. And then afterwards, if we have time, and I think we will, I teased this a little bit. I told you back in 2007, I interviewed Shirley MacLaine. And I bring this up because it was right after a primary, a debate. Remember, it was a 2008 presidential primary that year, had everybody and their brother running for president, including Dennis Kucinich, Bill Richardson, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of others. Well, the debate that aired shortly before I spoke to Shirley MacLaine, Tim Russert was the moderator, so this is how far back we're going, and Tim Russert asked Dennis Kucinich about something Shirley MacLaine wrote in her book about a UFO sighting with him in the New Mexican desert. And that was a question in a presidential debate. So we sort of went off from there. So stick around after this interview. We'll check in with Shirley MacLaine because we can. All right. You ready? You ready to experience some otherworldly phenomena? All right. Let's go, as they say, to the videotape. Well, I'm really excited for our next guests because, like I think many people out there, I don't believe we're alone. And I was excited a couple of weeks ago when I saw that Congress was actually holding the first hearings in 50 years on UFOs. We'll get into that. So let me introduce our guests. Caroline Corey is the writer, director, and producer of a new film called A Terror in the Sky. And David Altman, who's also with us, is a UFO field investigator and researcher. And I met him on Twitter and we connected and I watched the film, which is streaming now on Amazon Prime and a number of other places. You can find it online and you should watch it. So, Caroline Corey, this is your baby. Tell us how this whole A Terror in the Sky came about.
Hey, Nicole, thanks for having me, and Dave as well. Since I was a kid, I've always been fascinated with what else is out there, who else is out there. I knew that it's not just this physical world that we see, you know? And so, but I also had experiences, you know, I would see UFOs, I would see things that I, of course, at the time didn't know what they were. But as I grew up and got into first in the field of consciousness, but then anything that had to do with the universe and things like that, I was fascinated. And eventually, because I had experiences and I met so many people around the world who had experiences, I wanted to do a film that kind of validates the subject, you know? And the way to do that is science. And so that's kind of how I had the idea, okay, what is the best way to bring credibility to this important, very, very widespread subject? And this is how we put this team together to do a scientific investigation, which is a first in ufology. It's never, ever been done before.
Wow. So, you know what I'd like to do is play the trailer so people can get an idea of what the film is about.
What has made mankind is an insatiable curiosity. Insatiable. What is that? Nobody knows. The phenomenon.
Nobody's ever done this, as far as I know.
It's a huge amount of work, a huge amount of data and equipment. That has never been done.
Whatever this is more complex than we could ever imagine.
This is a first in the field of ufology.
The variety of devices we're bringing as a team to study the phenomenon covered an entire spectrum of different technologies in real time.
That moment shook me to the core because I knew my life was about to change again.
I think we're
going to
have like a couple of really, really good spots.
When I hear that you've assembled a team of top scientists using state-of-the-art equipment, I say to myself, it's about time.
This is an unidentified, unclassified new phenomenon.
Wow. Tic Tacs. Navy Tic Tacs.
Maybe.
Caught on our cameras. Yep. That's incredible.
Crazy. It isn't crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy.
We can go from body heat to very cold, like about minus 62 Celsius or minus 80 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
We will be transmitting data up to 800 terahertz in frequency. Our highest technology is up around 500 gigahertz.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to seeing what you've uncovered.
Triangulating and converging at two points, the same object.
It's fading.
It's gone. It's friggin' gone.
That's up to North Carolina. We need you up here.
We could be heading towards the biggest "see, I told you so" in history.
That's what we need, the smoking gun that'll clinch it, that once and for all will settle the debate. No ifs, ands, or buts. And in the process, rewrite all of human history.
Is this the wormhole? It's insane.
The wormhole! A tear in the sky. Ooh. So here we are with the writer, producer, director, Caroline Corey, and David Altman, one of the field investigators, UFO field investigators. So Caroline, first of all, congratulations, because this is, it's a wonderful film, and it's exciting and suspenseful, but it does detail a research project that you guys did. So tell us briefly what it was that we were watching there.
Yeah, you know, Nicole, before making a film as a filmmaker, you look around and see who else has covered the topic from the same perspective. And I was shocked to realize that it was never done this way before scientifically. So we had to really look at the details and see, figure out, okay, how should we go about this correctly? And so we ended up putting this team together. Well, I mean, the team was already put together, the UAPX team, but basically, I was interested in having scientists on board, also experts. And David Mason was one of the team members. He owned hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and not just any equipment. We're talking about industrial grade, you know, cameras, FLIR cameras, thermal cameras, RF detectors, radiation detectors, magnetometers. I mean, all sorts of different devices all at once. And we split up in three locations as well to achieve what we call triangulation, you know, different angles. And so that was never been done this way before. And that's how we get accurate scientific data, because we ended up collecting hundreds of hours of data from all of these devices and finding correlations across these devices. So that's why I'm just so excited to see, you know, for people to see that, you know.
Yes. Well, yes, and you, so you set up at this house, Catalina. So Catalina, an island off the coast of Southern California. I lived in LA for many years. I miss it. And I miss Catalina. And so how did you discover that there was a lot of UFO activity around the island?
Yeah, so one of the team members, he's the founder of the group, Kevin Day. I spoke with him first, and he told us the story. He was on the USS Nimitz in 2004. He was the first one who actually discovered these Navy anomalous objects in the sky on his radar. Mm-hmm. And they called them Tic Tac UFOs at the time, because they looked like elongated Tic Tacs. So since he told us the story and it happened in the Catalina area, we also researched other Navy ships as well, who witnessed the similar events with similar anomalies all in the same area. So we thought, wait a minute, it kind of makes sense to go back to this area and see if there's really something there. And I was just hoping for one thing, one cool. We ended up with so many incredible anomalies that are not your typical things as well. People will be blown away by the type of things that we've collected. So that's how it kind of came about.
Right. And you're talking about the triangulation. So you have cameras set up in different locations and they're catching the same phenomenon that you're seeing from your vantage point from two other vantage points as well. So was this a first time that this kind of activity has been captured by multiple cameras?
First ever.
Wow.
So not just angles, but also across multiple devices, meaning the visual spectrum. Regular cameras have a certain range. And then you have the night vision, which is infrared vision, but just a short range. And then we have the FLIR thermal camera, which is also infrared, but 10 times more expanded in the spectrum than the regular night vision. So that's what's so phenomenal about this, plus correlation with radiation and things like that. That's what makes this very, very unique, the way the data was collected.
Absolutely. So, David Altman, you are a UFO field investigator and researcher. Is this your line of work?
Yes and no. It's my passion, but I also work in television.
I do
development and consulting work on a lot of different type UFO shows, and it was just lucky enough to kind of put both my passions into one project, and I met Caroline. I was on the team with Kevin Day. He put a team together after the New York Times article came out in 2017, was when the big article came out and they released videos. Mm-hmm. I had met Kevin in Vegas and he told me he was putting this team together. And I said, hey, I'd love to join. I know a lot about Catalina Island. And also one other thing about Catalina is there's been sightings and phenomenon going out there since before I found the latest I found was about 1947.
Wow.
There was articles in the Catalina Island newspaper that said two army, because at the time it was army still, two army pilots spot flying discs on Catalina Island and got pictures. Uh-huh. So stuff's been going on out there for a long time.
Right. And the government has always been very secretive about it. So there's the area around Roswell, New Mexico, with Area 51. Is that what it's called? That is kept under wraps where people couldn't get in. And so there are a lot of stories that have propped up about it. And the secrecy from the government not sharing what they know until now. So now we had that New York Times article, and then we saw the videos, and just a couple of weeks ago, the first hearing on UFOs or whatever they call them. I want to play a quick news clip from the Today Show from when those hearings were going on, because I find it just fascinating.
But this time, the Pentagon offering an explanation to lawmakers.
We're now reasonably confident that these triangles correlate to unmanned aerial systems in the area. The triangular appearance is a result of light passing through the night vision goggles and then being recorded by an SLR camera.
But at the first congressional hearing on UFOs in 50 years, Pentagon officials admitting that most of what they call unidentified aerial phenomena remain unexplained. They also showed lawmakers this video captured by a fighter pilot with a cell phone that shows a metallic object that you might miss if you blink.
I do not have an explanation for what this specific object is.
Deputy Director of Naval Intelligence Scott Bray raising more eyebrows when answering this question.
There have been no collisions between any U.S. assets and one of these UAPs, correct?
We have not had a collision. We've had at least 11 near misses.
Wow. Defense officials testifying that there were at least 18 cases where they had data from multiple sensors showing objects that moved in ways that could not be explained, adding they would share more details during a closed-door classified setting. In the past, fighter pilots and former Pentagon officials have told us some of the objects were capable of instant acceleration and estimated speeds of well over 13,000 miles an hour.
Now, the committee says this could be the first of several hearings, with some lawmakers saying next they would like to hear directly from some of the pilots who have encountered those objects firsthand. Guys?
All right. Wow. Guys, Schwartz.
Well, that would be nice. So there, I mean, that's the first time we really heard officials, government officials, say they didn't call them UFOs, they didn't call them extraterrestrial, they call them unidentified aerial phenomenon. Is that the technical term, Dave?
Yeah, and just to while you're on this topic, allegedly, don't take it to the bank, but allegedly there'll be more hearings, if not this week, but next week.
Ooh,
that's how soon they're supposed to be. Yeah, yeah.
But now they're still saying we can't confirm anything, but they showed the videos and a lot of the stuff that you feature in the film A Terror in the Sky. It really rolled off of the videos that they had released of these phenomena that military personnel had spotted and documented. Yes?
Right. They're not saying, you know, where they come from. They're not saying who's behind the wheel. As far as, you know, I know, they don't know who's behind the wheel. They just know that these things are there, you know, and they're taking it very slowly.
Right.
Obviously, over 70 years. But yeah.
Now, Caroline Corey, the writer, director, producer. Caroline, how did you get into this field of work? Is this something that's just always fascinated you?
Yeah. As I said before, I've always been fascinated since I was a kid. I had multiple experiences myself. Oh. Even recently, I had a very interesting sighting where those three balls of light appeared literally right above my house, and they were bouncing off of each other, and then they split into four and then into eight, and then they were like literally hovering above me no matter where I went. It was kind of very, very interesting. And so many people report these, sightings. I'm not the only one. We're not the only ones, you know. Now, the fact that the U.S. government is talking about it and taking it seriously to hold a congressional hearing, mm-hmm. I think it's a huge step to really not only basically validate that this is an actual phenomenon that is worth investigating. That's what they're looking into. That, I think that's incredible. It's really a turning point in ufology. So I'm very excited about that.
Without a doubt. Now, the government agency that's looking into this, I don't know if there's a name for it. I don't know if they've set up an office or anything. But have they asked about your research, the research that you did for the film?
Yeah, there is a task force, and I think they're going to be adding more now, or I don't know how they're going to reorganize it after this hearing, but there is a division that's in charge of that. So I haven't had an official contact, you know, saying, hey, we'd like to take a look at your data or anything like that. But I have been, you know, approached by different government officials for, you know, just kind of in an unofficial way so far. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But they also said that they'd be open to getting to hearing witnesses, witnesses such as the pilots. So, you know, I would love to have, you know, Kevin Day or, you know, those guys who are really direct witnesses to testify at these hearings, because these are military folks. These mm-hmm. aren't, you know, I mean, and these guys are trained to look at the skies, to look at the radars, to look at anomalies, to identify, you know, potential, you know, like he was saying, there's near misses with our crafts. So I would love to see this hearing and this kind of government effort go in this direction.
Do you feel at all validated by the new scientific evidence that's being presented. I mean, here's the military, the government saying these are our pilots. These are our personnel who spotted these UAPs, as they call them, and documented them. We can't explain them. So, you know, for the longest time, anyone who talked about extraterrestrial life was crazy, was deemed nuts, right? Does this make you validate the belief that there is life out there?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I don't know about validated in that sense, because I was already convinced, but more encouraged that finally we can talk about this subject without being ridiculed, you know, without coming across as a, you know, woo-woo crazy person. And so that is extremely encouraging. So yes, it kind of encourages me to continue providing more data, more scientific data. In this hearing, they're not really offering scientific data. In fact, they're saying we don't know what they are, but we're telling you they are UAPs, meaning we don't know. It's not a human made. It's not our technology, what have you. So that alone is validation enough,
right?
You know, to keep going in that direction. And, you know, we are civilians, you know, we went out, we put all the money, the effort, the energy, the huge amount of equipment, and went out to collect scientifically data on these unknown objects. And so you know, this is also a first ever. And also the scientists in the movie are going to release a science paper for peer review.
Wow.
That is also a first in ufology. So this is, I'm just so excited to be, you know, the first one, me and the team in the film, to have been ahead of everyone in a way. Not that it's a competition, but more like, hey, you know, we can do this,
right?
You know,
and
that's what the film shows.
You made a pretty stunning discovery that was, it was hinted at in the trailer. You could see it, and it's alluded to in the name of the film, A Terror in the Sky, because there's an object, there's a UAP, an unidentified aerial phenomenon that's there, and then all of a sudden it just disappears. And you go in and you magnify it and you zoom in and all the technical stuff that you do and making your film magic. And you realize that there is some kind of a tear in the sky, a wormhole perhaps. What did you find?
Yes. So, you know, before the filming and as we got closer, I was happy with one really good anomaly on camera, you know.
Right.
And we ended up with so many anomalies, you know. People will see that some of them that looked exactly like the Navy
yes.
ones as well.
That's right.
Also, ones like you were saying, appear, rotate, disappear, register cold on the thermal cameras.
Right.
And then at the end, you know, we had stuff that was falling down. Like they were saying in the news clip there at, you know, 28,000 feet, 28,000 miles an hour, which was incredible. We caught some of these. And then at the end, this sort of tear, this sort of opening and closing that appeared out of nowhere, you know, with actual objects, reflective objects coming out of it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so of course now people who are listening, you know, have to realize we are working with nuts and bolts scientists in the film. These are folks who are going to look at a clip and analyze the heck out of it. You know, they're going to
sure.
say, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's in a weather thing, maybe it's that. So after analyzing it for quite some time, we're still coming to the conclusion that it's an anomaly. It's definitely an anomaly, but we don't know what it is. And so either way, it's a massive discovery, no matter what it turned out to be, because we're still going through the data. We're still analyzing it because we can't come to any conclusion as to what it is. What is this opening and closing?
Right, because you can't go through it and you don't have anybody who's in one of those flying objects to come and tell you what's going on, but you can't refute what is on the film. Right. But this kind of stuff has been going on forever, for ages. This is not something new or unique to the 21st century. Right. So I'm going to take you back 2007. So we're going back 15 years ago. And I've done, you know, political talk radio for a long time. And there was a presidential debate back then in 2007. And one of the people running for president at the time, well, two of them. One was Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio at the time. Another was Bill Richardson, who was the governor of New Mexico. Well, at the debate, Tim Russert looks to Dennis Kucinich instead of asking him about his Department of Peace or something like that. He asks him a question about a UFO sighting. Again, this was 2007, and people thought, like, what the hell? And go figure, a week or two later, I had Shirley MacLaine on my show. So she was at this, allegedly, sighting. And so I asked her about it. I may have to edit the beginning of this, but here, let's be
labeled by those who may not have the same beliefs as nutty or crazy. Yeah, or
it's I don't know what the problem is. I think it's fear of the unknown. And why didn't they ask Bill Richardson? Mm-hmm. He's the governor of New Mexico that's been dealing with UFOs for years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I don't know why Tim Russert asked that question.
No.
But it's interesting that he did, so apparently Tim is on to something and wants some of these folks to talk about it.
Maybe. But. No, I haven't gotten through your whole book, but you say that you do, and I do believe there's life out there. I think it's a very selfish attitude to think that we here on this little planet Earth are the only place in the entire universe that has just the right combination of elements and atmospheric conditions to foster life.
Okay, well, there's been Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev, Musgrave, the six astronauts. All right, here's just one. I believe that these extraterrestrial vehicles and their crews are visiting this planet from other planets, which obviously are a little more technologically advanced than we are on Earth. That's Gordon Cooper. Now, all these other people have said practically the same thing, including the ex-minister of defense under Trudeau of Canada.
Wow.
So why are we even labeling anyone who sees a UFO? And, you know, about 60% of the American public believes they're here.
Uh-huh.
Why is that nutty?
Because people are afraid in anything.
So anyway, that's a little bit of my conversation with Shirley MacLaine. If we have time later in the program, we're going to play the whole thing. But she's been saying this for a long time and was always labeled, you know, oh, she's a, you know, Shirley MacLaine. She's a little out there. And now it's becoming, well, of course there's probably life out there, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, that's, I think, what this hearing did is it's becoming more mainstream and okay to talk about it. So this is such an exciting time in ufology, in our history, actually. So I'm just so very excited. And my film, A Terror in the Sky, is just so timely.
Yes,
you know, it's almost, you know, it's like beyond coincidence that it just is out exactly at the time when the government is giving us permission, so to speak, to talk about this subject without sounding crazy. So,
without a doubt. Now, I'm only surprised that they haven't contacted you, especially about that wormhole, because that seems like something new, right? Dave, have you seen anything like that before?
No, I haven't. You know, I can't say what it is. I'm not a scientist. I don't know. It's definitely an anomaly. And I'm just excited, as you and everybody else who's seen it, to find out what exactly, you know, it is.
If some creature showed up at your house and said, doors open, come, and my book, To Serve Man, is not a cookbook, would you go?
No.
Caroline, would you go?
I would feel better going to them than them coming to me.
Uh-huh. I see. Caroline, what about you? Would you step on a ship if that opportunity presented itself?
It depends what they look like. You know, I did ask that question to William Shatner in the credits. There's a bit of a little video there where I asked him, would you do that? And he would say, I would welcome it. I would love to. Yeah, he would step on the ship without hesitation.
Well, that's good to know, because the thing he did with Jeff Bezos, I'm sorry, that's not going into outer space. That's going up and coming down. Not the same thing, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I'm fascinated. I actually think we come from the stars and we are connected to, you know, space brothers, family, you know, whatever. So yeah, if I would recognize this creature and they looked okay to me, I would probably definitely take off.
Does it look like ET or does it look like Predator?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Or does it look like the Coneheads? You know? Yeah. Or maybe it can be all of those things. Maybe they, you know, they can control what they look like. Obviously, their technology is much further advanced than ours.
Definitely, right.
Well, maybe see what they think they want you to see.
That's right. That's right. Well, this opens up a world of possibilities. And now, as you said, Caroline, it's acceptable. The government is saying it's acceptable. And Dave, you said there are more hearings coming. Hopefully, they'll be a little more forthcoming. Do you think there's anything at Roswell that we should know about that they're keeping behind, you know, closed doors?
At Roswell, I don't think there's anything there anymore except for maybe some old debris that's in the desert.
Right.
Area 51, I don't think so. I think it's too well known now, mm-hmm. and I think that it's more of a tourist attraction than anything else. I think if they do have anything, it's going to be someplace where we least expect it.
Ah, okay. Well, that opens up lots of doors of imagination. So write your own story. And who's to say? Because we don't know. This has been great. The film, I highly, highly recommended it. It's called A Terror in the Sky. It is streaming. It's on Amazon Prime, YouTube, a number of other places. You can find it. I'll put links up. Or you can go to aterrorinthesky.com and it'll get you to all the places where it streams. This is so what comes next? What are you doing next, Caroline?
Oh, my God. After this film and with the discoveries we've made. And by the way, I do have some scientists who reached out to me, not just government officials. Yeah. And they're still not offering any definitive answers. So there you have it. It's not just the scientists in the film. And I'm talking about astronomers and astrophysicists and things like that. So because of that, I am definitely encouraged to keep going. You know, I think we're onto something extremely important, extremely compelling. And we have enough data just from this one film to validate the fact that we are doing it correctly scientifically. We just have to keep going. And so, of course, I already have plans for future expeditions. And next time we'll even be more prepared because since we were the first to do anything like this, we learned a lot, you know. So next time the equipment will be even more specialized, you know, the teams, everything else. And so this is just the beginning of more films, more programs definitely to come.
Awesome. Bring it on. I find it fascinating. And I hope that we get an answer, you know, in our lifetime, because I would like to know for sure. Even though we know, I'd like to really know. Caroline Corey and David Altman, thank you so much. Dave, thanks for jumping into my Twitter timeline because you opened up a whole new door for
You're
me.
Welcome.
I loved the film.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you for joining me. I'm glad we finally got it together. And I highly recommend it. I'm telling you, everybody should watch this movie. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having
me. All right, there you go. So it's called A Terror in the Sky. It is streaming on Amazon Prime, on YouTube. You can go to aterrorinthesky.com and they'll link you to wherever it's streaming. And I think the rental is, you know, $3 or $4 or something like that. You know, I think it's fascinating. Okay. There was a lot of discussion going on in the chat room while the interview was playing. I see Joy has called in. Hi, Joy.
Hi, sweetie.
So what's on your mind?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to tell you what I saw.
Yeah?
My husband and I were having dinner with a friend who invited us down to Los Altos, which is about 30 miles south of where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks right over the Monterey Bay. And it came up, something started coming up with a bright light and started coming up out of the bay. And it was huge. it was this huge, and I saw the kelp falling off of the top of it. It was this big oval kind of craft that had amber lights all the way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it came up out of the water. It did not move fast. It was really slow. It was like 20 minutes or so. We had one of those little gold telescopes in the living room.
Uh-huh.
And so we all looked at it through that, and all three of us saw it. We were all three kind of freaking out because this is so strange.
Right.
And then it went over to the power plant. Right beside the coal-fired plant that unfortunately still exists in Monterey. Or what?
Okay. Okay.
And then we saw something that almost looked like a mandible that was taking something from the top of the smoke.
Okay, so bottom line is you all saw something. You all agree that you saw the same thing, and it's unexplained.
Yeah, and it was 20 to 25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then it winked out.
Okay.
It didn't fly off.
Right.
It winked out.
Right. Okay, so...
Like an eye closing.
Right. Interesting.
It was really bizarre.
Okay. Well, and millions of people have had these experiences. I feel bad because Bruce in the chat room, who's been a longtime supporter of this program, he's like, I can't deal. This is not reality. I got no time for this nonsense. I'm going to go have a nice weekend. Everyone except, and he names the director of the film. I mean, really? He said, this is not real. Well, do you know that?
Yes, it is real.
You don't know that. That's the thing. It's okay to say, you know, I have no idea. He writes, this is too bizarre for a rational person to listen to. Have a nice June weekend. Everyone except Caroline Corey. Bruce out. Okay, well, that's your prerogative. I'm not willing to, you know, make that kind of sweeping declaration without knowing. It's amazing to me, though, that the same people who embrace the idea of some all-powerful God in the sky think that, you know, the idea of life on other planets is unreasonable. All right. Yeah, that's where I am. Okay. So I said, if there's time, I'd share with you the rest of the Shirley MacLaine interview. You know what? Let's see. She was late coming to the show. So I was doing mornings on WINZ in Miami here. And I was waiting for her to come on the line, but that's when I did the setup for her sighting. Now, I love Shirley MacLaine from Terms of Endearment. Hated the movie, but I loved her. I hated it because it made me cry. It was horribly sad. And Being There, my favorite film ever, she's just brilliant. So let's share with you from, it was November 6th, 2007, I was hosting a morning show on the Clear Channel, then Progressive Talk Station in Miami.
We're waiting for Shirley MacLaine to get on the line. Now, Shirley MacLaine, obviously Academy Award-winning actress, and now, as she says in her, as she's aging, she's getting older, she could either become a sage or she could just sort of hang it up, and she decided to sage. So her new book is called Saging While Aging, and Shirley MacLaine actually found herself in the news very recently, last week during the Democratic presidential debate when Tim Russert invoked her name, because in the book, you know, I went looking for this. There is one page, there's a total of one paragraph in which Dennis Kucinich is mentioned. And what it says is that Dennis Kucinich had a close sighting over her home in Graham, Washington, when she lived there, and I'm quoting, Dennis found his encounter extremely moving. The smell of roses drew him out to my balcony where, when he looked up, he saw a gigantic triangular craft, silent and observing him. It hovered soundless for 10 minutes or so and sped away with a speed he couldn't comprehend. He said he felt a connection in his heart and heard directions in his mind. He said military helicopters were searching the area for the next few days, so others in the area must have seen it too. That is the entire mention of Dennis Kucinich in Shirley MacLaine's new book. But it prompted a question in the debate, a question from Tim Russert, which, well, it's my contention that the question never should have been asked because, I'm sorry, It had no place in the presidential debate. But it does bring up the question of, are you crazy just because you will admit out loud that you think there might be life elsewhere in the universe, that metaphysical forces are at work in the universe? You know, I went, it was my birthday on Sunday, and I went to a workshop on Saturday with a group called Abraham Hicks. It's not really a group. Sort of. Abraham, I guess, is a group, if you believe where this philosophy comes from. It's a couple named Esther and Jerry Hicks who write books based on the teachings of Abraham. But put forth is an idea that, you know, what you put out comes back to you. The laws of attraction, we've read about it in The Secret, or watched it in The Secret DVDs. And it's, you know, it's based on when everything is in alignment with the spirits, with the source power of the universe, that all is good, that you feel happy, that you feel joy, and that's what you need to strive for. But why is it when people talk of metaphysical powers, they're labeled crazy? You know, Shirley MacLaine, I think, has been courageous to come out and talk of her thoughts and her beliefs. And everyone's entitled to their own beliefs. You know, I could just as easily say someone who talks about Jesus Christ being the Son of God is crazy, as you could say that Shirley MacLaine may be crazy for talking about her beliefs. I see Paulina looks very exasperated in there. You're on hold, I guess, with her people.
She's still doing a live interview with, I guess, another station, and the guy told me that she was wrapping up, and right. Apparently they decided to ask her a few more questions.
Oh, so lovely. See, the way these things work, just to fill everyone in on this, you're allotted 10 minutes, and you're supposed to keep it to that time, and whoever the station is before us is deciding to go over their allotted time, which is really not right. I try not to do a lot of these, because you only get a few minutes with the person. But I thought Shirley MacLaine was interesting enough. And, you know, seeing that she was in the news recently and her name was invoked in this debate, I thought we would talk to her. But we need to find out who the station was before us and sort of read them the riot act, because they're taking our time. But anyway, I started reading her book last night, Saging While Aging. And, you know, it's filled with a little bit of everything. Her beliefs on alternative health therapies and her discussion of life in Hollywood and coming up. I mean, she talks about Peter Sellers while she was making the movie Being There, which was one of my all-time favorite movies. She talks about, obviously, the existence of extraterrestrial life, which I didn't get to that part yet. She talks about, okay, she's there, and now we'll let her talk about what she's talking about. Shirley MacLaine is on the phone with us at 9:41. Shirley, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks, Nicole.
I understand the previous station kept you on a little too long.
Oh, did they?
Yes, but it's good to have you here. The new book is Saging While Aging, and I was talking about, we are a progressive talk station here. And for the hour leading up to this, we were talking about Dennis Kucinich, and he's going to take to the floor of the House today to invoke a privilege resolution to impeach Dick Cheney. Now, I only bring it up because you were invoked. Your name was invoked at the debate last week.
Mm-hmm.
Because in your book, and I was looking through it, I guess there's all of one paragraph in which Dennis Kucinich has mentioned and that he saw a UFO, or an unidentified flying object, with you at your home. So you were thrust into the spotlight on this debate. Do you think that was a fair question to ask of him in a presidential debate?
Well, I just wonder why Tim Russert did it.
Yeah, so do I.
I don't know what the reason. Why didn't he ask Governor Bill Richardson, who deals with UFOs in New Mexico all the time?
That's right.
And who has actually written a foreword to a book about him and who's appeared on a documentary. You know, I don't know why he asked Dennis.
Now, Dennis is you're the godmother to his child?
That's right.
Okay, well, he's a good guy, and we applaud his efforts today.
Yeah, he's really telling so many truths that some of the other candidates are not.
You know, in your book, you talk about watching the election results of the 2006 elections.
Right.
And sort of with pride that Virginia was going to elect a Democratic senator and turn the control of Congress. And unfortunately, Congress is not really...
They certainly haven't, have they?
No, they haven't. They
have not stepped up. So what is democracy all about if they don't step up?
I don't know. I think people need to be heard and tell their elected representatives, this is why we put you in there. Now do what we want you to do.
Well, that is why Dennis is so important.
Mm-hmm.
He is telling that. He's talking about that. Now, this thing to impeach Cheney, which is smart, because if you impeach the president, then you just end up with Cheney. But okay. I think that's not a bad idea.
Right. Well, Shirley, in your book, you talk about a lot of everything. You talk about politics and your feelings. You talk about Hollywood and growing. I mean, I love the story you tell about Peter Sellers and being there. That's one of my favorite all-time movies. And Peter Sellers just must have been a trip.
It was a trip.
Yeah, and the way you describe him, apparently he was. Mm-hmm. And you also talk about alternative health therapies. I know that's one of your big issues now. And another reason why we need a Democratic-controlled government, because to weed out some of the problems with the health care industry.
Exactly.
Although, are the Democrats going to change anything?
I hope so, because we've got to stop with this drug culture and prescription drugs and stuff. It's just not good. And they ought to start talking about dentistry and how to get the mercury out of your mouth with the scrap amalgam.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to start talking about root canals and how difficult that is on the system, because you've got dead tissue in there. It really affects your overall health. It's not good. Bacteria creates infections, blah, blah, blah. We should be talking about this stuff on a basis every day.
Well, with the whole movement towards green power, renewable resources and things like that, you would think we would embrace more natural solutions to things, to health care.
Oh, I think the AMA and the Dentist Association are beginning to look at it, but it's just more look at. But you see, that's why the naturopathic alternative medicine business is so huge. And listen, I am involved with Cleveland Clinic. It's not uh-huh. like I don't believe allopathic solutions at all. It's not that, but I do think that it's time to stop with the drugs and start with the natural.
All right. We're speaking with Shirley MacLaine. Her new book is Saging While Aging. Shirley, while we were waiting for you to come on the line with us here at 940 Winds, I was talking about how unfortunate it is that someone who will speak out and talk about metaphysical forces in the universe can be labeled by those who may not have the same beliefs as nutty or crazy.
Yeah,
or
it's I don't know what the problem is. I think it's fear of the unknown. And why didn't they ask Bill Richardson? He's the governor of New Mexico that's been dealing with UFOs for years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I don't know why Tim Russert asked that question.
No.
But it's interesting that he did, so apparently Tim is on to something and wants some of these folks to talk about it.
Maybe. Now, I haven't gotten through your whole book, but you say that you do, and I do believe there's life out there. I think it's a very selfish attitude to think that we here on this little planet Earth are the only place in the entire universe that has just the right combination of elements and atmospheric conditions to foster life.
Okay, well, there's been Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev, Musgrave, the six astronauts. All right, here's just one. I believe that these extraterrestrial vehicles and their crews are visiting this planet from other planets, which obviously are a little more technologically advanced than we are on Earth. That's Gordon Cooper. Now, all these other people have said practically the same thing, including the ex-minister of defense under Trudeau of Canada.
Wow.
So why are we even labeling anyone who sees a UFO? And, you know, about 60% of the American public believes they're here.
Uh-huh.
Why is that nutty?
Because people are afraid, and anything that's different from what they believe, they have to label something weird
or
different or
even
nutty.
Even people who have seen them and know they've seen them have a difficulty saying that truth because they're afraid of ridicule. So we've been dumbed down so bad to be humiliated at something that it doesn't induce fear, but does induce potential humiliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And I struggle with that. It's like if you don't understand something, it's okay to admit you don't understand it. You don't have to label those who are embracing it anything.
Yeah, well, in my book, I go into quite detailed stuff. Oh, you read it, about these star visitors and what they're saying, because we have to learn from them. We're not doing a very good job on this Earth.
Well, why don't they teach us more? Why don't they come out and really give us the answers?
Because they can't karmically interfere with us. We have to acknowledge them. If we acknowledge them, if the governments acknowledge them, then they will help us. But so far, well, some governments have released their files. France, China, Brazil, there are several others that have released their files. We haven't. Now, I do think that those in the know, so to speak, and our government who know, are watching what happens with a book like this or a conversation like this, and then they'll say, well, wait a minute, maybe it's okay. Maybe they're afraid of panic. Mm-hmm. I don't like to call it a cover-up. I like to call it something where they're concerned about the reaction for our own good, something like that, and that they will release if we give evidence that we want releasing.
Okay.
Of information about it.
Well, Shirley, I know our time is up, so I need to let you go. It's a pleasure talking to you. I've obviously been a fan of your work as long as I can remember. Terms of Endearment made me cry for days, and it's a hard movie to watch, but it was just so brilliant. So
thank you
for all your work and being there. I bow down to you. Shirley MacLaine, 941's new book is called Saging While Aging. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, interesting.
Okay. And there you go. That was my conversation with Shirley MacLaine from 15 years ago. But there you have it. And with that, we're done. The week is over. Next week's a big one. So rest up. we've got a tropical storm coming here. Hurricane season began 3 days ago. So bring it on. Or just stay away. Oy. All right. With that, I have a great weekend, everybody. I'll see you Monday. Tonight, if you're around your radio at 9 p.m. Eastern, I'm filling in for Mike Malloy on Progressive Voices. So check that out. All right. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll leave you with the news. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We need to ban assault weapons in high-capacity magazines. And if we can't ban assault weapons, then we should raise the age to purchase them from 18 to 21. Strengthen background checks. Enact safe storage law and red flag laws. Repeal the immunity that protects gun manufacturers from liability. Address the mental health crisis, deepening the trauma of gun violence and as a consequence of that violence. These are rational, common sense measures.
President Biden delivered a primetime speech to the nation about gun violence on Thursday night, pleading for Congress to take action and enact common sense gun laws that could prevent future mass shootings.
After Columbine, after Sandy Hook, after Charleston, after Orlando, after Las Vegas, after Parkland, nothing has been done. This time, that can't be true. This time, we must actually do something. The issue we face is one of conscience and common sense. For so many of you at home, I want to be very clear. This is not about taking away anyone's guns. It's not about vilifying gun owners. In fact, we believe we should be treating responsible gun owners as an example of how every gun owner should behave. I respect the culture and the tradition and the concerns of lawful gun owners. At the same time, the Second Amendment, like all other rights, is not absolute.
In the last few weeks, Biden has met with families who lost loved ones in Buffalo and in Uvalde, Texas. He said they had one message for all of us. Do something. Just do something, for God's sake. Do something. In Congress, the House Judiciary Committee approved the Protecting Our Kids Act along party lines after a very contentious markup session. The bill is actually a package of 8 bills that would raise the lawful age to purchase a semi-automatic centerfire rifle from 18 to 21, ban high-capacity magazines, increase penalties for gun trafficking and straw purchases, create new criminal penalties for failure to safely store firearms at home, outlaw bump stocks, which effectively turn semi-automatic weapons into machine guns, and outlaw ghost guns. Those are privately made firearms assembled from individual parts or kits bought online or parts made with a 3D printer that don't have traceable serial numbers but have increasingly been used in violent crimes in America. While the package would likely pass the full House, it almost certainly wouldn't overcome a Republican-led filibuster in the Senate. And note, that this package does not include reinstating the assault weapons ban that Biden stressed during his speech. Why? Well, because there aren't even enough votes from Democrats to pass that. To be continued. After 100 days of war, about 20% of Ukraine's territory is now under Russian control. That, according to Ukrainian President Zelensky, who addressed the nation Thursday and added that the Donbas region is, quote, almost entirely destroyed. Some 800 people, including children, are reportedly hiding in several bomb shelters underneath a chemical factory in the city of Severodonetsk, which has lately been targeted by Russian missile attacks. Those in hiding are locals who were asked to leave the city but refused. Separately, the U.S. military's hacking unit has conducted offensive cyber operations in support of Ukraine and to potentially deter Russia from conducting cyber attacks against the U.S. infrastructure. 100 days into Putin's invasion of Ukraine, officials report that over 21,000 civilians have died in Mariupol alone. And they now say nearly 7 million people have fled Ukraine at some point since February 24th. But in Russia, the Kremlin has banned state media outlets from focusing on dates related to the war that underscore its military failures. So in other words, they're not allowed to say it's been 100 days. But there was a bit of a morale booster Thursday as Ukraine's soccer team defeated Scotland, bringing Ukraine one step closer to the World Cup. The coach even dedicated the win, quote, to the armed forces in the trenches and in the hospitals, those in Ukraine who suffer every day. President Zelensky thanked the team for, quote, 2 hours of happiness. The clock is counting down to Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's when the House Select Committee investigating January 6th begins their public hearings. The committee promises some bombshell information that we aren't yet aware of. But we have in recent days been digesting over 2,000 text messages that were sent to and from former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows during the insurrection. One of the key questions the committee is expected to raise is why Trump failed to publicly condemn the attack for hours, and whether that failure is proof of dereliction of duty and evidence that the former guy tried to obstruct the certification of the 2020 election by Congress. Meadows selectively handed those messages over to the January 6th committee in December before he stopped cooperating with the investigation. So I keep telling you that COVID's not over yet, but at least today we can offer some good news for families with little ones at home. COVID-19 vaccinations for kids under 5 could begin in the U.S. as soon as June 21st. Despite some reluctance from parents, White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha expects the vast majority of kids to be vaccinated by their primary care providers. The good news, the doctor said, is that the U.S. has plenty of supply of both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines to start the program for kids younger than 5. They also said 10 million additional doses would be made available for states, pharmacies, community health centers, and federal entities to order starting today. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. But once again today, you got me. I'm Nicole Sandler, holding down the fort for one more day as they regroup this week. And